Mm. Because one of the natures of we have everybody coming in to do their show in a schedule, so people come on particular days. They maybe see the host before them, maybe see the host after them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not necessarily, if all you're coming and doing is the radio show, you're not necessarily going to meet a lot of people.
Mm.
And you're not going to necessarily feel a sense of community with the other people at the station. So we have lots of events. You know, we have the record club you mentioned, which is actually going on right now, where people get together and sit around and listen to music. So if you're into music, it's a great opportunity to share with other music enthusiasts.
Right.
And learn some new stuff and meet people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did like the barbecue that we did, which is, again, a way, opportunity to gather people together. And meet other people. And through that, you sort of build a sense of community so that being part of the station isn't just about doing your radio show.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing your radio show. But it's also about having a community with all the other folks doing a radio show,
mm-hmm.
getting to meet new and interesting people, making friends from, through the people you meet here. And that ties people into the organization as well. And then,
right.
you know, makes it so that they feel they belong. They feel this is their organization. And therefore, you know, they want to help out in other ways when we're doing things like our fundraising drive or we're putting on other events and trying to promote the station to the broader audience. And we get people to do that.
Right. I mean, like, I did not know that there's a lot of consideration behind the scene. Of course, there should be, right?
Yeah.
But, like, if you're not in the position, you really don't know.
Yeah.
And so now I know. But, like, from my own experience and as part of the members and new members, I'm still very new, consider, like, the Free Voice. I heard that they have a great impact in the worldwidely indigenous groups,
yeah.
right? Even in Australia and other places. Actually, I just had some new followers just tune in from our Chinese live streaming and from New Zealand.
Yeah.
And I just told them, like, you can download the CJSF app. Like, I just know, right? So we actually grow more people, like, by including more members. And my own experience is that last time after the barbecue, right, it was very far away from me. So I was, like, there because I already know some people.
Yeah.
And the weather is good, of course. But after that, I did not just only meet some people that I barely see them because my show is on Thursday and their show might be on Wednesday
exactly,
or Tuesday.
Yeah.
However, we had more in like close experience after that, right? Like you don't just talk about what you do, but that is a great beginning of the conversation.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what's your show is about, blah, blah, blah. And then you get into the conversation, right? It's not completely random. We've already tied with this.
Yeah.
But then later on, we had some fun experience, not just when we're doing or talking inside of the station, but we also do some random talk, right? Like I can just be completely different side of myself and socializing with people and then made the real friendship out of there.
Yeah.
And that was the moment where I felt like, hey, this is my community.
Yeah.
I've been here and I think I was a little bit selective towards the community, right? Because it has a lot of requirements. I can't totally be by myself. So that could be one of the reasons that I am a little bit, I would say, picky. But I think the reason is because it has to tie with your passion. What you like to do, you are willing to spend money. Spend money actually as well, time and also like the energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm like that one of this kind of people. I have to count what's the meaning to do this thing, right? And another thing is that you have to find people who understand this, who just like, you know, talk about something in the similar language, and also you. At least from my perspective, that I can learn from them about things that I care. So this is how I feel like how I would select a community.
Yeah, and that's why we put a lot of effort in trying to sort of build and maintain that community. Because you can, you know, when you, it's really interesting to get involved and then you know, meet people who share your interests, meet people who have similar but different interests, and talk and share with them and learn from them. I remember, you know, back when I first started doing a radio show, when I first got involved with the station, and this was over in Victoria when I was going to school, and I joined the station. I felt like I knew a lot about music because I was a music fan and my friends were into music as well. And you join the station and you go through the training and then you start doing a radio show. And, you know, I was doing a weekly 2-hour radio show, music oriented. So at a 2-hour show, you need to play about 25 songs per week, right? And talk about them. And of course, you don't want to just play the same thing every week. So, you know, 25 songs this week, next week, 25 different songs. The week after that, 25 other songs. And, you know, week to week, you don't want to repeat, but you might, you know, you're going to have favorites you come back to. But you're constantly bringing in new stuff to play. And, of course, the radio station is constantly getting new music in that you can access and learn about. And, you know, you go from, you know, feeling like I know a lot about music to a year later, like, oh, well, I know, not only do I know way more, like probably 5 times as much about music, like 5 times as many bands and artists and songs as I did before I started. I now realize that I only know a little about all the stuff that's even coming out, because of course, you know, I was felt I was a big music fan, but I knew people who were complete music obsessives.
Right.
And I think I know a lot about music, but I don't know nearly as much as even they know about music. And these are people you're hanging out with and learning from about music and stuff. And then, of course, it's not just about the music. You end up learning about a lot of other stuff.
Right.
As well, you know, I mean, as an organization, we try and sort of be progressive and forward-thinking in you know, our attitudes about things. And, you know, you meet a lot of other people who are thinking the same way. So, you know, with our environment, in our here in our environment at the station, you know, we were very forward-thinking on rights. We were very forward-thinking, you know, I'm talking about way back as far as the 90s, of really making an effort to, for instance, include a lot more women in the station. You know, because kind of at the time, it's not so much these days, but at the time, you know, being a music nerd was kind of a boys' club.
Oh.
And because the radio station was sort of, you know, a technology kind of oriented thing.
Okay.
It was, you know, had that sort of male coded boys club bit. But as an organization, it's like, no, we can't just be like this. We actually have to really try and incorporate more young women into our organization and make sure we're making sure they get through to do radio shows.
Right.
And the same thing in a lot of, you know, other areas as well, where you're really making it an active attempt to be more inclusive. So the same thing of, you know, people from different backgrounds and people from different races and stuff, and going, okay, well, this isn't a place just for young suburban white kids. It's a place for everybody, and we have to make sure we're making space for everybody, and not just making space for them to come in, but actively seeking to bring people from different backgrounds in, so that we're not just sort of a monoculture of one sort of social or demographic group. And so we've, you know, as the type of organization we are, so because we're doing that, you also attract a lot of other people who think the same way. And so, and then you're sitting around at the station having discussions about things, and through that you're learning and growing and you know, knowing a lot more about not just music, but, you know, how we should be functioning and operating in the world and what we need to be doing to be, you know, a progressive, open, accessible organization, but also a progressive, open, and accessible society.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the most important thing, as I do social media as well, right? Like, I started to realize that, oh, some people, let's say, have like very fancy equipments and stuff, but then not necessarily you like what the channel is about. Yeah. It could be a plus for sure, right? But then the really important thing is people.
Yeah.
So I felt like what we did here is, or been doing here, is to observe more people, especially I think the huge benefits of this campus-based community station is that we are located in the campus, in the mm-hmm. big university where the campus has already did the, first of all, they obviously were being selective from mm-hmm. all the people who apply for the university.
Yep.
Right, they are capable, they are free, and then they're progressive, love to learn.
Yep.
And then also from all over the place, all over the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is that those people are young. I feel like most important thing is the mindset, right? Mm-hmm. They are open to a lot of things, to the diversity of the world, to the possibility and the potentials of what they could do in the future.
Yep.
So that way they're exploring around and trying things. That's how I guess we can observe mm-hmm. their fresh thoughts, right? It's really not about the age, but then most likely about the stages in mm-hmm. Of their mind
yep.
status, right? So I feel like this definitely cannot be the same if you can find in other commercialized stations, because it's not just about station. It's like a corporate job. Of course, you have a little bit space to explore a little bit. Like Google might provide some of the space, but then not every big company or small company have that space, because mm-hmm. they have to be profitable. They yep. have to towards this goal and intensely serve certain needs of certain group of people. So they yep. cannot be as diverse or as progressive as we could mm-hmm. be. It's not like they don't intend it to. So I feel like that is what I loved about it. Like, people come here and then they're completely driven by their passion. It's all about people, right? So I really loved it.
Yep.
I wonder, what is your future plan for to gather people? And because I know that there's still a lot of moves that we're doing in the station, mm-hmm. although I don't even know much about it.
Well, we have lots of ideas. I mean, we're still, I think, growing and sort of recovering from the pandemic period, which might seem like it was a long time ago now.
Right.
You know, although I did see a thing pop up in my you know, one of the memories that pop up in your social media feed of my daughter and I on the bus with our masks on from only 4 years ago, from 2022, so it's not that long ago.
Yeah.
But when, during COVID, of course, everybody had to stay home. Nobody could come to the station.
Mm.
When we were broadcasting, we had people broadcasting from home, you know, either pre-recording their shows, or we could have them set up a audio stream to the station, which would be picked up, and then we'd send that over through the radio broadcast and our live stream.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody was here. So that whole part of the station where people are meeting each other and working together and getting to know each other kind of disappeared for like 2 years.
Okay.
And, you know, we lost a lot of volunteers, and we really saw a drop off in volunteers, because like we were talking about before, just the radio part isn't enough to really make it a whole fun experience. You need the opportunity, the radio, which is the activity we're doing here, but you need the community to really make it into something that feels really strong and worthwhile.
Mm.
So we're rebuilding, you know, from that. Even now, like, for instance, we've noticed, like, this past school year, starting from a year ago, September, right? We had a lot more volunteer involvement from students and stuff. Mm. It started a little bit the year before, which would be 2024, I guess, and then last year, 2025. And, you know, and it's sort of interesting, well, why was that being? It's like, well, a lot of the people who are students now, who are starting, you know, university in the last 2 years, are kind of the first group of students who spent most of their high school time after COVID.
Mm.
And so they don't have that sort of legacy of not being involved in things and staying home that the sort of previous cohorts of high school students did.
Mm.
Because I think, you know, right after the, it can seem strange, but right after the pandemic, you know, things opened up, people went out more, but people had gotten out of the habit of engaging and being involved and joining things. And that was, I think, particularly true with students who'd, particularly those ones who'd spent grade 10, 11, and 12 basically in a sort of semi kind of lockdown where they went to school, saw some of their friends, but not all of their friends, and then went home and didn't see their friends out of school on the weekend. Now we're seeing students who have gone through high school after that period, and we're seeing that growth. So now we're getting a lot more volunteers, and that's really good. It really makes the organization stronger, makes it a more fun experience for everyone involved. So we're rebuilding from that. The other part of it is, of course, we're dealing with a slightly different environment than we were, say, 10 years ago. And that's because of, you know, music streaming, streaming apps. You know, we're one of a bunch of different ways people can listen to and access music, whereas before we were one of the only ways that people could listen to and access music that they didn't own. And so it sort of changes our, you know, it changes what we do and it changes how we relate to our audience. But it's also where, you know, things like developing our app.
Right.
So, you know, so it's easy for people to listen to, right? People can listen on the radio if they happen to be in the town, you know, in our broadcast area. Or they can listen on their smartphone because they have that with them all the time. They've all, you know, for 30 years, you've been able to listen to the stream on your computer, but people aren't always, you know, people aren't necessarily going to, that's not portable, that's not with them all the time.
Yeah.
You know, they're not necessarily going to do that in the same way they might with the app. And so that's something we want to grow. And then, you know, the other things we want to do is create and share a lot more of the content we create through the through our website and through our app so people can listen to it,
right?
You know, whenever they want. You know, people can, just like this show, people can listen to it now live as we're doing it and listen to your live stream while we're doing it.
Yeah.
But then afterwards, we can post it up to the website and they can check it out again at any time they want. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's just very up-to-date progress because, for example, like I'm live streaming to China with the videos, right?
Yep.
And I personally definitely like to watch the videos more than just listening, especially for a lot of our, let's say, Chinese audiences. Some of them simply just wanted to improve their English, which means... of course, they want to improve their English by listening to real thing outside there, right? They want to know what's there. This is how I know about our audiences. Because I was like, why listening to my show? Why watching my show? Because when I get started, I was just so new. And that was the first time I started live streaming. And then I was just so surprised, right? So, and then they told me, oh, this is very different because other people that I watch... their show, they don't have a show probably, but then they probably teach you English, right? But they give you information, but this is very spontaneous. And a lot of them are also all over the world, as you can imagine. Chinese are all over the world. So they tune in from Africa, from Richmond, Vancouver, and from Toronto or California, right? And then they obviously can fully understand this. But I also realized when you are so into this conversation, you find this person so knowledgeable or interesting, then you want to see how do they look like, what's their gesture, what's their facial expression when they talk about this thing, right? Like a little bit unfortunate because we have this limited space. So I also have like very simple devices. So we cannot have like a camera that directly facing to the audience or the guest facial expression. But otherwise, I'd love to. I definitely would do that in the future.
One of the things we're hoping to set up pretty soon is the infrastructure so that the ability to video broadcast from here is sort of built in. You can actually, if you look down under the screen there, there's a camera there, which isn't hooked up right now, but it's mounted. So that we would have a camera there pointing at you. We would have a camera over here capturing the whole room. We would have a camera over here.
Okay.
You know, and you'd have a little Stream Deck thing, so you can switch between the different views.
Oh, wow, that would be so busy, you know? Doing this.
Well, it's just a little thing, and you could go, oh, I want to look, you know, I want to switch to the other camera that's pointing at my guest's face instead of just their profile, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, not everybody wants to do that. Some people, not everybody wants to be on camera while they're doing their radio show. But, you know, I think it's one of the things we have to do differently as a radio station, in this new streaming era, when I talk about streaming, I'm talking about both audio streaming, music streaming in the sense of services like Spotify or Apple Music, but also, you know, services like YouTube or Twitch or others. I imagine you're using a Chinese service, right?
Yeah, I'm now doing on the WeChat video channel. Yeah. But to be honest, I plan to maybe for like soon future get more phones because I just phone it, right?
Yep. So what, you know, what we have to do as a radio station is not think of it as just a radio station where, you know, our thing is to broadcast off in the FM band from our tower on top of the library here. But, you know, we're streaming the audio on the internet, which we've done for a long time. Now we've got the app so people can listen to it through their phone, wherever they are, whether they have a radio handy or not. But also setting it up so we can stream through services like WeChat and Twitch or YouTube Live or whatever.
Becomes
other ways people can tune in and listen to the radio show. Yeah. So they're not restricted to just the radio broadcast. It's like, okay, well, I can listen to this way or this way. The idea is we need to, you know, be forward thinking and come to the audience where it is. And some of that audience is on the traditional radio broadcast. Some of it's listening through an app on their phone. Some of it's going to be listening through video streaming like we're doing now.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you're doing. You know, there's going to be people here in Vancouver who are listening to the radio broadcast where they are. And then you have a whole different audience that's listening through your video your video feed to your phone. So now, you know, and that's an audience that wouldn't exist if you weren't opening up that new avenue.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that's a very progressive mindset to, instead of like before I have everybody just fits us, but then now we are trying to be adaptive to what audience's preference is, right? And to their convenience, for their convenience. Like, actually, I just read this comment where like people say, oh, very good live broadcasting room, and they hope us to do it every day. I'm like, you know, like they do want us to do it every day.
And, you know, that's sort of the goal. And like I say, any programmer wants to do that, they can do that.
Yeah.
And some will, like some not everyone will, but it opens it up, right?
Exactly. You have the options, right? And also, I feel like that would be a great marketing tool for like cut the clips on Instagram while people are like swiping, or our students, right? They sometimes, really, I talk to some master students or undergrads at SFU in our lab, and they have no idea that there's a radio station. There's a radio show. And they're like, how did you find that resource? I'm like, that's just wide open there. So, yeah, I feel like that would be really interesting. I'm looking forward to it. But like I said, like if I have more phones or in the future, then you actually can have maybe not like multi-angle, but you actually can have multi-angle on this one WeChat or whatever. Yep. But let's say if I wanted to make it simple, you can just literally have another phone and streaming from a different platform. Yep. Like, let's say one is from YouTube, another one is from, for example, Twitch, and people can see a different angle, but it is a little difficult for them. Yep. But definitely, it make it easier than before for us to achieve this kind of result, right? Yep.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing that's really interesting about opening up to these new channels is what we see right here on your screen, where, you know, when you do the sort of traditional radio show, we're here, I talk into the mic, I play some music, I can invite people to give me a phone call or send me a text on the phone. But it's mostly me talking out to the world, right?
Yeah. You don't know who you...
Yeah, whereas this makes it really easier for people. And, you know, I see a lot of people are doing it. They're responding, they're commenting, and they're talking back to you as you're doing your show.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons we'd like to expand into doing a lot more of this. There's a few other shows that do this a lot.
Mm.
And they do it like you. They sort of have their own setup. There's the hip-hop show on Wednesday night.
Mm.
The
Do they? What time is it?
It's 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. on Wednesday.
Okay.
Supreme, he's the host, is in here playing hip-hop, and he's very funny on the air because he's got a whole sort of this whole hip-hop persona, and he's, you know, shouting and hyping and then playing music, and it's very entertaining.
With his streaming device, or
yeah, like through the radio. It's just like yours here. He's doing the radio show, but he's also set up to run a stream of it. And then Linda, who does East Van Wham Bam on Thursday nights at 7, usually streams as well through. I think she mostly does it through YouTube.
Wait, it's supposed to be tonight?
Yep.
I don't think I've ever seen that. I thought like at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, maybe they just do it remotely mostly?
No, I think they're usually up here.
Okay, then I have to stay late to be able to see it.
And yeah, I mean, yeah. You probably miss her most days because she comes in at around 6:30 or so. And
But I don't know, because most of the time I'm here later and later. Because I enjoy, yeah. Like, before I just came and go.
Yeah.
And now I'm, like, sitting here chatting and just stayed until very late. But I don't know, because I know that after that is Danny. Danny after Jacob, right?
Yeah.
And then after that, there was some gap. And I know Jeremy's show is like maybe start from later. But I don't know. I thought there was a gap in between. Oh.
Maybe she's been running some repeats for a little bit.
Okay. But I'm very interested in that. Yeah. Maybe I will show up on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. at one point.
And Supreme's a really nice guy. Really, really interesting. So.
Right.
Definitely someone worth meeting.
Uh-huh. Like I said, it's very interesting. Oh, I really enjoyed today's conversation, although we only have like limited time each week. So today we're just like have to end at here. But like in the future, I definitely would love to know more about it.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate today's conversation and with Magnus and knowing. I feel like I secretly collect a lot of information and knowledge about this. So I will talk to you next week, and thank you for tuning in, and I really appreciate for all the staffs here and volunteers and hosts here at CJSF, and this is CJSF 90.1 FM. You can tune in anytime. If you're not in the Burnaby Mountain, then you can just go to the CJSF.ca, or now you can download the app called CJSF Radio FM at App Store or whatever you download.
Yeah, you can just search for CJSF Radio and it'll come up.
Okay, hopefully we can add some bottom in the future on the app to each show to reserve them, because that's what we do here. And then that would be great. Okay, I'm very excited. And the later is Jacob's art show, and I will talk to you next week. Thank you.